know what's going on? Maybe it's another drill.
Commence primary ignition.
War Midwest Guys presents Star Wars Breaking News.
A day long remembered.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Hello and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents Star Wars Breaking News. It's a very special podcast. We've had so much Star Wars news in the last 3 to 4 days that there's just no way we could have fit it into our flagship show, the main Four Midwest Guys flagship show. So we actually have its own segment tonight, its own very special podcast. John Z and Brian B couldn't be with us tonight, but I do have Anka Bauer. Anka Bauer, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good,
Good. Good to have you on board. So what we're going to do, we're just going to go through all these stories. We're going to break it down for you. But before we do get going, I just have to tell you that some of this stuff may indeed be...
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Confidence is high. I repeat, confidence is high.
Flush the bombers, get the subs in launch mode. We are at...
Spoiler alert.
Again, these are official stories. Most of these are official stories out there. But, however, you've been warned. So, there you go. So, let's get right into it. Our very first topic that we're going to talk about, the Entertainment Weekly, is had an exclusive look at the Force Awakens. They released some brand new footage, some brand new pictures, and I thought these were a little bit more insightful than what we saw earlier in the year. I don't know, Brian, what did you think when you saw these pictures?
It actually got me really excited about them. I enjoy the pictures when they come out. It gives you a nice little graphic of what you can possibly be seeing. Some of the stuff never makes it into the film, but some of it does. Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite was the silver stormtrooper.
Ah, yes, Captain Phasma. Yes,
that looked really crisp.
Mm. It did. She had a lot of looked like some battle scoring too. So it, like the previous picture we'd seen of her, and I say her because she is what's her name, Brian? Gwendolyn. Cannot think of her last name from...
I know who you're talking about.
Game of Thrones.
Yep, I know.
Anyway, huge, gigantic, one blonde-haired woman. had a lot of battle scarring on it. It looked like had some like she'd been in a battle. So, last time we saw a picture of her, it was all real bright and shiny. So, definitely looks like she's seeing some action. And... maybe it's just me, and maybe it's just the geek in me, and looking at that picture a little too closely, but if you look at her gun, the very top part of the gun, like the barrel of the gun, looks like a lightsaber. Like, you know how they've got the black lines on the lightsaber, and then the hilt of the lightsaber, it looks like the tip of her cannon looks like the lightsaber itself.
It does, but it's also, it's got holes all around it, though.
Oh, does it? I didn't see the holes. Okay. So, I don't know, maybe it was just me being a little hopeful that it was some sort of gun-lightsaber combination, kind of like what we've seen in Star Wars Rebels there or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
It still looks pretty badass, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely badass. And I'm interested to see what kind of role she plays. If she going to be... Is she with the First Order, which is kind of the brand-new Empire or a new offspring of the Empire? So we're... You know, because there's also... Details were revealed... in the article about Kylo Ren, that he's actually part of something called the Knights of Ren, or was part of the Knights of Ren. We're not too sure what that is. So that's maybe a new Sith order, or, you know, and that this First Order of the Empire is a split off in that, and J.J. Abrams kind of said, well, it may not be the only faction that split off of the old Empire, so it just may be one group. So does Captain Phasma belong to the First Order faction, or does she belong to another faction? And is it going to be kind of like bad guy versus bad guy, maybe? I don't know. It kind of opens up some possibilities there, I think.
Especially if they have different like quadrants, like I don't want to say quadrants because that sounds like really Star Trek-ish.
Right, right.
But that's kind of what if they're going to have different factions of the bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, where you had like the Romulans and you had the you know, everybody. So I don't know.
It could get, if they do it right, it could be great. If they turn it into like a Blood versus Crypt thing, like, oh well, we're First Order and we have a red banner, and you know, we're the Crypts and we have a blue banner. You know, that would be a little childish, but
that'd
I think
be a little much.
Yeah, but I think it's there's a lot going on here. Another picture that they showed was Daisy Ridley, a.k.a. Rey, and John Boyega, a.k.a. Finn. They're running from stormtroopers. And the stormtrooper in the back, he's kind of at point-blank range, man. So I don't know if this means...
So that means you know he misses?
Right. So are these stormtroopers just as bad as the old stormtroopers? Because that was like the big joke and everything back
in
the day.
Yeah, he only looks like he's about 20, or so feet right behind him.
Yeah, he looks like, man, unless they're going to stun him or something. Maybe they've got weapons set for stun. I don't know. But otherwise, it looks like he's aiming right for the head of Daisy Ridley there.
Yeah,
Rey. So, I don't know.
What did you think about the R2-D2 and C-3PO and the C-3PO with the red arm?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that one out. I don't know if that's like the used universe kind of thing going on, where you know they just somewhere along the line he lost his arm again and they couldn't replace it with a gold one, so they just found whatever was laying around.
Well.
Kind of a deal?
I think that's what they're going to do. That's how they're going to play it into the story. But
yeah.
From what I gathered, it was J.J. Abrams' nod to Hellboy.
Oh, really? So it's going to be like some sort of cosmic key kind of
thing? No. It was just his nod, because Hellboy has that giant red hand.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Because I remember in Hellboy, he like sticks his... That's the whole reason his hand is like stone or whatever, because he unlocks... Apocalypse or whatever.
Right. I think it's just his nod, you know,
his
that it was... Yep.
Okay. Okay. Well, that would make sense. Okay. Because I think it's definitely... Not to use the pun, but I think it is kind of a red herring in some ways, because it just gets us geeks talking about it.
Yeah. Sure.
And I don't know if it really has much bearing on the story or not. One of the other pictures we see is Finn, a.k.a. John Boyega, and he's right next to a crashed TIE fighter. Now, we did see this in the, I think it was Comic-Con when they did the behind-the-scenes featurette, but this is the first time we kind of see John Boyega kind of standing, running from it, next to it, not sure what. This looks kind of interesting, so this might be, like, in the very first trailer when he pops his head up and he's, like, looking around. Maybe this is... kind of what's happening is maybe he's crash land a TIE fighter, or maybe he's, I don't know.
Is that how you saw it?
Either that or he's going after somebody in the crash TIE fighter.
That's what it looked like to me, because it looks like he's looking into it as he's running up on it.
That's true. Yeah. So maybe he's trying to finish them off, or just to see if they're okay. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe it's somebody he was getting away with or something, and somebody crashed, or he's running over to get him. I don't know.
I don't know either, but yeah, it's different. I mean, so it's a little eye-opening there. This next picture I'm going to talk about is kind of one of my favorites, because at first it looked like it was like a robot walker. Like I first thought, I thought it was all mechanical, but if you look closer, it actually looks like some sort of animal, lizard, beast, something, and it's in... like used armor, like they found old walker armor and they put it on top of this walking lizard. So thing that this other little dude is, scavenger dude who's captured BB-8, I guess, the new soccer ball droid, as he's affectionately known as, in a net there,
right.
And Daisy's trying to get him out of it. So I really thought that was kind of cool. Just different. I never would have expected anything like that. So it's kind of like a war horse with armor, with like Imperial armor on him, I guess. I'm not sure how else, but I thought that was pretty neat, although it probably has very little to do with the story. It's just the detail that they're going into. It's just that used universe that we all came to love and know in the classic trilogy. Just another good example of it there. So, moving on to the next picture. Again, we already talked about C-3PO and his red arm, and Here we see Kylo Ren with his lightsaber. It looks like he's in the snow with some trees in the background, so I don't know if this is a new planet. The only other Star Wars planet we've seen with, you know, trees like this with that could have snow would be, I guess, Endor. I don't know. Endor always had more of a tropical feel to me, so I don't know if this is a new world. Also, by the way, this is the cover of the Vanity Fair weekly magazine that just came out, by the way. I don't know. What do you think about this one, Brian?
Well, I'm interested to see it. He doesn't. I know they keep trying, but to me, this still does not strike fear the way Vader did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they keep trying to hit it, but they can't.
You know, I keep hearing rumors that Kylo Ren is kind of a Sith relic hunter, and if you go back to, I don't know if you ever heard of Knights of the Old Republic, the video game, they created a character called Darth Revan. It almost looks identical to the drawings I've seen of what Darth Revan's mask looks like, as well as in the video game. So I don't know if that is actually supposed to be Darth Revan's mask or something else. But yeah, it doesn't quite strike as much fear, I'll agree, as Vader. I like it. I think it's cool looking. But yeah, it definitely doesn't have that same, I don't know, menacing fear behind it. Now, I don't know if that's because I'm not, you know, 7 years old, and maybe that's why.
Well, I mean, think about it. When they brought out Darth Maul, we all said, "Look how badass he looks."
Right.
And then they went and killed him off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was right. Okay.
I think because he's human, number one, he's, he's Adam Driver. Spoiler alert. And he's yet to be disfigured, it looks like, in any way, shape, or form. So maybe this was the only way they could make him look menacing without any kind of issue, so to speak. Like, he hasn't been maimed or, lost an arm or anything, it looks like. It looks like he's all 100% organic there. So we'll see what happens, though, going forward. I'm definitely interested to see, like all the other Star Wars geeks out there, how he incorporates the three-bladed lightsaber, or the lightsaber with the hilt on it. So let's see how that looks out. That should be how he lightsaber fights, I think, will define how badass I think he's going to be in the movie, and the costume as well. So, okay, then we've got, this was a guy, when I originally saw his picture, name is General Huck, I believe. Is that? Yeah, or Hux. General Hux. But the actor, Donald Gleason, or Donald Gleason. There we go. When I first saw his picture, I said, this guy is Luke's son, or he's a descendant of Obi-Wan Kenobi, just by the looks of the guy and the way he had his hair at the time. Now, it was more combed over, and he had like a reddish beard, and that's kind of what gave me that impression. But apparently he is a general of the First Order. He looks like he may be in command, possibly, or second in command of what's been called, what he gave away as Star Killer Base, I think, in Comic-Con he said that. So, Star Killer, that's a throwback to the original screenplay by George Lucas, where Luke was Luke Starkiller, not Luke Skywalker. This picture was kind of interesting. You really get to see, looks like, the Imperial base in the background. Very cool looking. It's looks like it's been, it's updated a little bit since, compared to the Empire of the of 1977 and the 80s. It looks like they're using LED lights, and it's similar, but it's a little bit more crisp and a little bit more shinier, I guess we could say. I don't know. What did you think about this one, Brian?
I'm glad I zoomed in on it. At first, it looked like he had no arms.
Yeah, because he's kind of wearing the jacket on his shoulders.
He's wearing the jacket over his shoulders.
Right.
It kind of struck me as if, like, he was... And what did you say his title was?
General. He's a general. General Hux.
Yeah.
Hux. Yeah.
His coat almost reminds me of something like naval.
Mm.
The way it has the stripes on the one sleeve with the patch, you can see the patch on his left sleeve. But it does remind me of the old Empire that had the, you know, when Vader crushes the guy's throat and everything else. It looks very similar, the outfit does.
Yeah, it does. Those were kind of almost a grayish green. These are strictly black. So
these almost like black leather.
Yeah. It's like they've taken the Nazi thing to a new level here.
Yeah.
So these guys, I guess, mean business. The First Order compared to the Empire that we knew and loved back in the day. So it should make for a very. I'm very interested to see how this New Order storyline evolves and where it's going to go. So,
yeah.
Okay, this next picture we see, here we've got J.J. Abrams, and he's sitting next to Lawrence Kasdan, and they're obviously sitting on the set of, I guess, the Starkiller base again, or some sort of Imperial complex. Very kind of cool. They have the scripts open. They're red, which means you can't copy them. So again, secrecy. Even though
I think that's what everybody's doing nowadays.
Yeah, but these guys are the writers, and even they don't have official white copies that can be changed, right? So
right.
It's very master and apprentice kind of feel to it, because here you've got the old and the new, right? You've got Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote Empire Strikes Back and helped write Jedi, and now you've got J.J. Abrams sitting there just kind of listening as he's kind of, describing the universe. So kind of a really kind of cool picture if you really think about it and put a little thought into it. Very insightful, in my opinion. I don't know, Brian, what do you think about this one?
Actually, I kind of skimmed over it. I realized who it was, but I wasn't really looking at the backgrounds. I was slipping through, trying to look for the actual footage from the movie.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, again, this is rarely, it's more of a kind of an iconic piece, I guess, just to say, here's the old and here's the new. And
kind of like passing of the torch.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, So it's very, very, very cool, in my opinion. Okay, next we see probably going to be, in my opinion, the new Han Solo, if you will, of the movie. Oscar Isaacs, that's it. My bad.
Well, that's not his name. That's the actual actor, right?
Well, that's his actual name, yeah. Isaacs, yeah, that's his name. So here we see Oscar in his X-Wing pilot gear, very reminiscent of the original trilogy.
I think his name is Poe Dameron.
Poe Dameron, thank you, sir. Yeah, that's it.
No problem.
So we have we see Poe there, and we see a very kind of cool black X-Wing in the background with a red stripe on it.
Yes.
Cool, very neat. And even behind that, you see one with like a blue stripe in the background. It's kind of hard to see, but so definitely a lot of individualism kind of going on here now. There's no longer cookie cutter per se X-Wings, at least according to their paint jobs, I guess. So that's kind of cool. So everybody's.
And you can also see they still have that walking trash can thing.
Yeah, the walking trash can. I did like that. I did see that. I was like, oh, that's cool. I wonder if he still goes around going, bark.
Whatever.
Yeah, that, like that deep. I can't do it, but
we need Birchie on here to do his sound effects.
Yeah, we need the sound effects. Yeah. Where's he at when we need him? I thought this was cool, but yeah, I think this guy, he may be again, if Han bites the big one, he may be the next generation Han Solo in some way, shape, or form. Maybe a Skywalker, possibly a Solo. Not sure there. That's been rumored as well. So I could kind of see him being maybe Ben Skywalker, which would to back up in the books. That was Luke's son, which are no longer canon. Maybe he is Luke's son, or maybe he is a Solo offspring of some kind. I'm not sure, but or he could just be the new Han Solo character, the hotshot pilot. So
yeah.
Moving on, we've got J.J. Abrams there. Looks like just kind of like a set photo, and he's talking to, looks like, Daisy Ridley's on some sort of a platform. Mm-hmm. And once again, she's holding the staff. There's a lot of rumor out there right now about the staff. Some have even said that it's some sort of Sith relic. It might be one of the reasons why Kylo Ren is hunting or will somehow hunt down why they're after Daisy and Finn is for this staff, which has been rumored to be Darth Plagueis, maybe a Darth Plagueis artifact of some kind. And now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Darth Plagueis, he is mentioned in Episode 3, where you have the Emperor, a.k.a. Palpatine, talking to Anakin Skywalker about the tragedy of Darth Plagueis. And apparently Plagueis was actually the Emperor's master before he killed him off in his sleep.
Why would we hear about it in Episode 7?
Well, they may be using this at... Apparently there is a lot... The Kylo Ren is a kind of like a Darth Vader wannabe.
Okay.
Or a Sith wannabe. He's a... He's going around collecting different relics for whatever reason, Sith relics.
I gotcha. I see what you're saying.
Right. So maybe it, you know, he's...
Kind of like finding something in King Tut's tomb or something.
Right, right. So it's kind of a little Indiana Jones in the Star Wars universe.
Yep.
Yeah, kind of thing going on.
Okay.
So, but yeah, supposedly this is, or rumored to be, Darth Plagueis' artifact. And they actually asked... They actually asked J.J. as well as Lawrence Kasdan if Darth Plagueis is in Star Wars Episode 7, and Lawrence Kasdan just kind of played it off. He didn't answer the question.
Hmm.
He said, "Oh, who'd you say, Darth Vegas?" And they just kind of played it off. They had the guy. They kind of got the guys. They kind of shut the guy up. So he may indeed be in the movie. He may in some form, shape. So. For those of you out there, so he may be like the one remaining Sith or something like that. So, and then finally we have our last picture. It's the just a close up of what we saw at the end of the second trailer, which is Han Solo and Chewbacca. Where Han Solo saying Chewie, we're home, which is the big tearjerker moment. You know, a little nostalgic moment there. Again, real attention to detail. It's definitely being played. You definitely see the Falcon in the background. It looks like there's insulation kind of hanging out in the back. It's used. It's worn. Just kind of like it was in the original trilogy. I don't know. You got any thoughts on this one, Brian?
I think it was John that brought it up last week, that J.J. Abrams actually took the time to watch the movies and had a special team watching the movies to get even the smallest details from the Falcon into this movie on the Falcon itself.
Yeah.
I think it says, I can't remember, it's something about fuzzy dice or something, and
yep.
A couple other, the buttons that were, what colors they were and everything, so.
Right. Actually, that was, not to take anything away from John, that was me, but yeah, they actually even went.
One of you.
Yeah. They actually went as far as to put bubble wrap on the seat belts in the, around, you know, where they, you see them buckle up around the chest table. Apparently it had bubble wrap in it in the original, so they actually took the time to put bubble wrap on the seatbelt. So, again, super attention to detail. So just showing a real love and respect for the original trilogy. So
yeah,
that's something to be excited about, I think. So some really good pictures, some great pictures there, a lot of good insight on what's coming. So I'm looking forward to it. Speaking of movies coming up, another huge announcement over the weekend. We got the cast and the crew for Rogue One, which is the first Star Wars anthology movie, a.k.a. standalone, which will open 1 year from the release date of Force Awakens. So not this December, but next December. So they've already begun shooting, and they released the cast and crew. So the official title is Rogue One, The Daring Mission Has Begun, or at least that's the name of the article. So I'm not sure if that's part of the movie title or not, but that's what the article says. It says Rogue One - The Daring Mission Has Begun. So is it a Star Wars anthology movie, Rogue One, just Rogue One, or is it Rogue One, The Darling Mission Has Begun, or Daring Mission Has Begun? Brian, what do you think?
I think it's just going to be called Rogue One.
Okay.
If you look at the picture, do you have the article up right now?
I do.
Okay, so if you look at that picture below the title there, it just says Rogue One: A Star Wars Story.
Hmm. Good point.
So I think it might just be, end up being Rogue One. And if I guess if they put an extra, if they do the credits, the intro in the same way, then we might get an extra subtitle.
Right.
But I think they're going with Rogue One.
I'm kind of thinking the same way. The only reason I brought up the daring mission has begun is I'm wondering if they're actually trying to leave the door open if they want to do a second Rogue One movie. Like if there's some other story with maybe the same crew or whoever survives this one.
Would it be called Rogue Two?
I don't know. I mean, it might be. I mean, you kind of get the idea with the title of Rogue One, if that is indeed the name of the crew in the movie, that these are the Navy SEALs of the Rebels. Maybe they're the elite of the elite force, kind of like maybe like in Band of Brothers, like the Airborne Division, the 101 Division, Airborne 101. You know,
right.
Kind of this, maybe the same thing, like an elite, well-respected, well-known division. Or maybe this is how they become respected and, you know, legendary, maybe, perhaps. So,
well, what do you think they play on the rogue term and it's a band of, like, misfits?
It could be. Yeah, you could have, like, a...
I mean, just looking at the guy in the background on the main picture there, he doesn't look like he'd be a well-known... You know, each one of them looks like they have their own little niche.
Yeah, like they each have their own special quality.
Like
the guy with the red vest on in the background, kind of maybe this muscle. And
yeah.
You got the communications officer with the sitting down there in front.
Yeah, like the techie.
Yeah, the techie. Yeah.
And then you got the guy with the spear. You know, he might be a combat specialist or something.
Yeah, that guy is actually a martial arts expert. I was reading about him. Yeah, he's.
Yeah, is that Donnie Yen or is that Jing Yang?
Jing Wen, yeah. He's apparently been in a couple. He's kind of like a Jackie Chan in a way, you know.
He was in Blade 2, I believe.
Yeah, they said that. I'm gonna have to go back and watch that again. I don't remember him being in that movie, but you know, obviously you didn't know what you're looking for at the time. So
well, he was probably an extra.
Yeah. So yeah, Brian, you might be right. It might be like a ragtag misfit bunch that somehow gets the Death Star plans, and that's how they become famous or glorified. Maybe they all die, except for one. You never know.
Oh, that could be. And the only reason why I said that is because of the rogues from The Flash. I don't know if you've seen that episode yet of The Flash,
but that's where
all the kind of like the villains come together as a group, and they call themselves the Rogues.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, supposedly they're going up against Darth Vader in this movie, or at least Darth Vader is going to be in it, whether he's the main bad guy or not, I don't know. Yeah. So, I would imagine if they go up against Vader directly, I would say there's probably quite a few that bite the bullet, no matter how badass they may be.
I didn't see James Earl Jones in it.
I didn't see him in the official cast either, but it was heavily rumored that Vader is in it, and there's even rumors that there you may even see like a holographic version of the Emperor. Like you might even see like a cameo kind of in holographic form kind of deal. So I was kind of hoping to see James Earl Jones listed. But maybe they're saving that, or maybe Vader doesn't play a main role. I don't know. Maybe he's more of a background character. But when you think about going back to the original Star Wars, when he's right after they take the Rebel Runner ship aboard, and he's talking to his subordinate there. I can't remember the other character's name, but some... commander or general, well, maybe not even general, but some sort of commander in the Empire, he says there'll be no one to stop us this time. So I always thought when they announced this movie and the time frame that they said, I always said, okay, so this is probably who Vader's talking about.
Maybe okay.
So At least that's the connection I made. Whether that's really what happens or not, I don't know. I'm just speculating. But again, so...
So
we got...
That's a good theory.
But it looks like, you know, you got some unknowns. You've got some action, you know, Zhang Wen in there. You've got Felicity Jones, you know, obviously Oscar winner in there. Let's see. We've got, is it Riz Ahmed, Diego Luna, Felicity Jones, Zhang Wen, Donnie Yen. Those are your Rogue One actors. And then they also, another one I noticed, I took note of, was Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. I wasn't expecting that. So I could see Forrest Whitaker on both sides of the fence. I don't know about you. I don't know. I could see him as a rebel general of some kind, or I could also see him as, you know, serving some sort of empire role. I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
I thought they originally said that he was going to be a villain, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see him one way or the other. I can't really peg him. One, you know, you can't say, like, this one guy called, forgive me if I murder his name, Mads Mikkelsen. One look at that guy, and to me, that just screams
villain.
Villain, yeah. You know, just one look at the guy. If you see his picture, he's very, I don't know if the.
Is it because he looks German?
Yeah, he has that kind of that like if you put him in a Nazi uniform or something, you know what I mean?
He looks like a bad guy in Bond movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great analogy. It's a perfect analogy, actually. So I'm kind of on the fence. I'm very interested to see where Forrest Whitaker ends up in all this. So, other than that, it's pretty much unknowns for the most part. I guess that's more of that and Felicity Jones or. Felicity Jones and Forrest Whitaker are pretty much the main two big names, and then the rest are somewhat unknowns. But I guess that's kind of the Star Wars style, really. If anything, Felicity Jones and Forrest Whitaker being put in a Star Wars movie is probably, for Star Wars anyway, is a little, I don't know, out of kilter, I guess, Brian. Because they've always been about, at least Lucas was always about, you know, using unknown actors, you know.
Yeah.
So we got a little bit of star power this time around. I don't know how that's. I think it's a good thing, though. You know, you get some. You know, because I don't see Forrest. I wouldn't put Forrest Whitaker. I don't think Forrest Whitaker is typecast as one kind of character, and I definitely don't see Felicity Jones that way either. She's still fairly new to the acting world.
Right, so. You know why we think that Mads Mikkelsen looks like a Bond villain?
Yeah,
because he actually was he was the Bond villain in Casino Royale.
Was he really?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, you're right. Oh my God! Wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's funny.
So we do have a little bit more star power then. Okay. Yep. That's hilarious. So yeah, I could definitely see that guy playing a Tarkin kind of role. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that also, you know, that also brings up a good point too. Whether I wonder if Tarkin will be in it, or somebody playing Tarkin.
It might be like a precursor to Tarkin, like it's in a lower level.
Yeah, or a cameo by somebody. He might even be playing Tarkin. You know, if they put him in the right makeup and.
Oh, that's true.
He could maybe pull off a younger Tarkin. You know, a younger Peter Cushing if they do it right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I'm very excited about this movie. I've said that more than once, and I know me and Brian B. have been going back and forth on our Facebook page about it. But this is going to be a departure from the normal. This is kind of rolling the dice a little bit with Star Wars, only because it's a Star Wars war movie. It's not going to be... like the saga movies, necessarily. It's going to have
a standalone.
It's a standalone, and it's not just a standalone, but it's going to be told from a ground war perspective. So it's going to be like I said, Band of Brothers, Saving Private Ryan, kind of feel to it, except you're going to have blaster rifles and you're going to have, you know, high-tech weapons and TIE fighters flying overhead instead of bombers, you know.
Right.
So I'm very interested to see this, though. If this is done right, this could be really very, not just cool, but very groundbreaking, especially for the sci-fi world. I think Alien might be the closest thing to like a ground war sci-fi kind of movie. But even that, I don't think would be what they're trying to pull off.
Not Starship Troopers?
Oh, God, please, no. No. I didn't hear that. Oh, God. Oh.
That was funny.
You know, I will say one thing.
I remember what your dad used to call it.
Yeah.
It's too funny.
But, yeah, I will say one thing about that movie, though. It's like a train wreck, dude. It's a cult movie because it is a train wreck.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Hey, I actually will watch it when it's on, I'll admit. But that's me. So, I don't know. Brian, anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you got as far as Rogue One you want to talk about?
No, but I definitely think that how well this movie does depends on how the other movies are done.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it depends. Like, to me, this, from all the other Star Wars, like, promo shots or anything else, they don't seem as dark or, I don't want to use the word real, but...
Gritty, maybe?
Yes, as this one does.
Yeah.
That image.
Yeah. Right. And again, I think that goes back to the whole, it's a ground war movie. You know, this is going to be... Like I said, it's going to be in the trenches with blasters and TIE fighters, you know.
Right.
Or TIE bombers, in this case. So, So, I'm very excited. Very excited. And I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about going forward as we get closer to December of 2016. So,
Right.
So, moving on, the next big thing that kind of broke over the weekend, Disney kind of released some, artist renderings of their vision for a Star Wars land in, I think it's going to be in
both
California as well as Florida, correct, Brian?
Yep, it's going to be in both.
And it's very interesting artwork. You see these like stone columns, and it's like a merge of, I guess what you would expect. It's a merge of all the Star Wars worlds, and they're kind of, you know, you've got TIE fighters flying overhead, you got the Millennium Falcon flying into the city, and the city's got, it's kind of looks like Naboo, kind of maybe mismatched with...
Yeah, it was like, supposedly it's supposed to be a brand new world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, supposedly it's going to be a brand new world, but it is going to have that Star Wars feel to it with the TIE fighter, with the Millennium Falcon and stuff, and I think they're each going to be... I want to say it said 14 acres.
Oh,
it's the largest expansions, single-themed expansions for Disney.
Wow, that would be huge then.
Yeah.
So I'm just imagining the rides. I mean, you could do like just a speeder bike ride or something. It would be like some sort of roller coaster-based speeder bike ride. That would just be phenomenal.
Yep, that would be kind of cool. One of the things you can, I think you get on board the Millennium Falcon. And it allows you to drive it.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Yeah, you get to fly it. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's one of those, you know...
Simulators
or whatnot, but even still, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be very cool. And, of course, they have to have a cantina there. I mean...
Oh, obviously. They did say that. They did say that they're already hiring for it, and every store and every food area will have unique...
Creatures
that are serving.
That's awesome. That is just awesome. That's beyond awesome, actually.
So it'll be kind of neat. I mean, if you look at open that article that we put on our page, third picture down actually shows what's the guy's name that does it? It's a trap.
Oh yeah, it's I can't remember the species, but yeah, Admiral Ackbar.
It shows what looks like one of his kind of species. And then as you look through the picture, there's a lot of droids and a lot of other kind of creatures.
Just kind of walking around and doing
yes.
their thing. Yeah.
So I can imagine, and this was me thinking, I was like, you know, if I had a, if I could make the Star Wars, how would I have it? And I would think there'd be a lot of, like, gunplay going through the crowd.
Yeah,
like rebels running and then stormtroopers following after them.
That'd be cool. Yeah, or somebody break out in some lightsaber fights or something, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I've never been to Disney. I really want to go.
Yeah, I haven't either. I would love to go.
But I think now that I heard about this, I'm going to wait until it's completed.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking about taking Gabby, because Gabby's 5, and I was like, well, yeah, yep. Now I can definitely wait and save up, you know, for a couple of years and do
exactly.
it right.
Definitely going to wait and not go to Star Wars Land. I mean, how silly is that? But that's what's going to happen.
Exactly, man. It's just it looks absolutely phenomenal, and I can't wait to see the finished product. And I'm wondering if they're going to be identical or if they'll be
two separate worlds.
Yeah, because that would be kind of cool, because that would be a draw for Star Wars fans if Disney played it smart from a business perspective. You know, they might say, well, this is this new world here in Florida, but if you go over to California, you can check out Mos Eisley, you know.
Yeah, I would almost bet that each one will be individual.
Right.
They might have the same, like, Millennium Falcon simulator.
Right, same ride, or some variation of the ride, yeah.
Right, but I would think that they probably make them different for that reason, because Disney is very good at marketing. I mean, did you see, not to get off topic from, you know, the Disney thing, but did you see they came out, they matched up with CoverGirl?
Yes,
For the makeup,
right, yeah.
I mean, not that, you know, some people are saying, oh, there goes their Disney-fying stuff, but Disney knows how to market.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
If they can get into the makeup and get that into the girls, and the girls know that in Star Wars this stuff is used, because they've already shown pictures of several of the creature creations.
Yeah.
Using the different types of, like, eyeshadow and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
There's going to be a correlation there that the girls and stuff will be able to see and be like, oh, that was cool how they did that. You know, for Halloween, I want this or whatever. Like, my daughter already said she wants the nail polish. She's a big nail polish kind of person.
Right.
But she wants the nail polishes that come out. She goes, Dad, that'll be so cool. And I said, oh, yeah, I know. And I think you saw on my page, I'm like, well, I'm going to have to buy it, you know, being a Star Wars fan and, you know, my daughter actually wants something Star Wars. I'm like, yeah, okay, you're going to get it. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to go all out, because I think they're coming out with blushes and everything, but I'm definitely probably going to get the nail polishes.
There you go. Got to keep the daughters happy, man. But mine's only 5, so I'm going to just kind of try to steer her away from that for a little while if I can avoid it.
If I were you, I would buy it now. Technically, you can't buy it now, because I already looked into it. It doesn't come out until September. But I would buy it now and then save it. So that when the next movie comes out, the next big Star Wars movie comes out, she'll be 7. That's about the same age that Caitlin started with her getting her nails done and stuff.
Yeah, her mom already paints her nails, and so does Grandma. Or Gigi. My mom is Gigi, but yeah.
Yeah,
so,
see?
Yeah. I might have to break down and get her some nail polish because it has Star Wars on it. But she's gonna want she's a big Darth Vader fan though.
Well,
I don't know what I did wrong. I was trying to raise a Jedi and I got a Sith. But
right. Well, one of them is a galactic red.
Oh boy, yeah, that'll be the one then. Especially if it has anything with Vader or associated with Vader, she's gonna.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. As like Vader's lightsaber.
Yeah. The other day she has like the small outfit or whatever.
I saw it.
Yeah.
With the plaid pants.
Yeah, exactly. With the plaid pants on. Yeah, she had
that was great.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, you need to address me as Mrs. Vader, Dad. I was like, oh my dear Lord. Okay, so
too funny.
She's definitely obsessed with Darth Vader. So, but anyway, getting back to the paintings real quick, just a quick wrap up. Check them out for yourself. They're on our Facebook page. Or you just Google it. Either way, definitely worth check out. Definitely very excited. Just one more thing. that you know, a lot of people are saying, well, Disney's going to kill it, Disney's going to do this, it's going to do that. I think Disney's only going to add it. I think they're smart people. I think they recognize the hardcore fans as well as the general public and are bringing that together. And I think these Star Wars lands, worlds, whatever they may end up being, are going to only add to the Star Wars experience. And any hardcore fan, I don't care. Even Brian B. would, if presented with the opportunity, I'm sure would go. And I'm sure that'll be a discussion where he'll say no to that. But nevertheless.
I've seen Star Wars. Why do I want to be in Star Wars?
But he's not here to defend himself, so we'll wait for the flagship show. So, but even more Star Wars news. Speaking of movies, future movies, also released this weekend was that Colin and Trevorrow, is going to direct Star Wars Episode 9. Now, if you're not familiar with Colin Trevorrow, he just got done doing the latest Jurassic World, which is making all kinds of money. And although it has some mixed reviews, definitely
a big box office hit.
Yeah, a huge box office hit. And I've yet to see Jurassic World. Hopefully,
I
get to see it.
You're definitely missing out.
That's what everybody's told me, and I've got to get out there and see it, especially now that he's going to direct Episode 9, just so I can see, you know,
his work. Yeah.
Yeah. What his style is. So Brian, I'm going to kind of, ask you, since you've seen it, what is his style? I guess, how would you describe it?
I would say he's a traditionalist, if you want to say that. He pulled a lot of stuff from the original Jurassic Park.
Hmm.
And he put his own twist on a lot of it, but it still felt more like the first Jurassic Park, because the other two, you could tell, were done by different people.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Jurassic Park 2 and Jurassic Park 3, you could tell were not done in the same manner that the first one was.
Hmm.
So this one felt more like a continuation of the first one, which is why I'm really excited that he's going to be doing a Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found a quote from him, and he said, "This isn't a job or an assignment." He goes, "It's a seat at a campfire, surrounded by an extraordinary group of storytellers, filmmakers, artists, and craftspeople. We've been charged with telling new stories for a younger generation because they deserve what we had, a mythology to call their own. We will do this by channeling something George Lucas instilled in all of us, boundless creativity, pure invention, and hope."
Oh, dear Lord, wow. Wow.
I mean, you could tell he's... And that's why I say traditionalist, because he pulled from that Jurassic Park movie. You know, I mean, John Z didn't care too much for the some of the references to the first Jurassic Park, you know, where they pull up the sign and rip it apart. You know, spoiler alert, sorry. But I thought that the little nods at the first movie were just tremendous. I'm like, oh my gosh, now I can really see how this fits in. So I'm curious with when him doing 9, if he does any kind of like, I know he's going to keep the same format. He's not going to do a lot of CGI. He's going to do like J.J. Abrams is doing.
Hmm. Wow.
You know,
right. Kind of
like a true fan.
It sounds like he might be the perfect guy to maybe end this trilogy. I mean, obviously, I think there'll be more beyond 9, but he sounds like, because, you know, once you get to the third act in the trilogy, it's usually a throwback to the first movie or to the overall saga. So it sounds like he may be the perfect guy to do Episode 9 then, because they're going to be wrapping up at least this part of the Star Wars, you know, this particular trilogy, 7, 8, and 9. So,
right, yep.
So, wow, that's amazing. That I am very encouraged by that, not only that, what you just said, but his comments especially. That's awesome. That's awesome news. Obviously, we're too far out to even begin to speculate what Episode 9 is going to look like, feel like, or anything like that, or even what it might even be about. But still, that's very encouraging news. So again, it looks like Disney is taking their time, and because at first when I saw they did Jurassic World, I'm like, oh, are they just picking the hottest guy out there? You know, that was kind of one of my concerns. But after hearing what you just said, that makes sense, that if this guy is more of a traditionalist and if he does a lot of pullbacks to the old movies, so they're looking for another guy not only to keep that classic trilogy going, but also kind of wrap up this particular trilogy, the storyline. So that's a very encouraging, and that's awesome. So that sounds like another good pick by Lucasfilm and
right.
Kathleen Kennedy. Cool. Very, very cool. Also, even more news, getting back to Episode 7, they released a Force Awakens poster. Wasn't quite the razzle and dazzle I thought it might be.
Not at all.
One character in particular is missing, if not two, from this poster. One being, most important being, there's no Luke Skywalker in this poster. This is, I guess, the official Force Awakens poster, or at least the first one to be released, and there's no Luke Skywalker on there.
No. Nope.
Nowhere to be seen.
But we do have a really old Han Solo.
Yeah, you get a very big picture of Han Solo. You have Daisy Ridley, a.k.a. Rey. You have John Boyega, a.k.a. Finn. You have Kylo Ren in the background, and, you know, in kind of like a twofold kind of thing.
Yeah, you got TIE fighters and X-Wings. And
right. So, yeah, very interesting. Very interesting poster, because this tells me that the rumors that Luke Skywalker may not be in the movie to the very end, or may have a very limited role in Episode 7, and his role may not pick up till Episode 8, it may be true here. Much to my surprise. I really didn't think they would go that route, but I don't know. Brian, what did you think?
When we were talking about it before the show, like I said, Han Solo looks really old in this movie,
mm-hmm.
or this poster.
Yeah.
And the fact that staff is in there that you were talking about.
Right.
That's in the center of the picture.
Exactly. And so is Daisy Ridley, a.k.a.
Exactly.
Rex.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Is she the one that's kind of caught in the middle, or is she the one that's going to be tempted between the light and the dark?
Right.
Because if you look at the poster, for those who haven't seen it yet, it's half and half with Daisy in the middle. And on the light side, you have John Boyega, very interestingly, with a blue lightsaber. And then the other side is with Han Solo below him. And then on the other side, it's Kylo Ren with his three-bladed lightsaber with some TIE fighters in the space seat. So, you know, you've got this whole light and dark contrast, and she's in the middle, and she has that staff. So, very interesting. Could not believe that they didn't just, you know, put a little head in the background of what Luke might look like. So,
Well, you know, what's funny is that the original Star Wars poster didn't have, not until it was redone, but the original artwork didn't have anybody. It had Leia, Luke, mm-hmm. C-3PO, R2-D2, and then a kind of how we see the bad guy in this one, Vader, kind of faded in with the sky.
Right, right.
What
you're talking about.
Yeah. And then if you go into, like, the one that we actually saw in the theaters, that's when they started putting in Han Solo and Chewbacca and
the lesser-known characters, right.
Right.
Or the supporting actors.
Right, so maybe that's what they're going to do on this one. This is just the first, you know, this is just the first one they're going to put out, and then the next one will be similar, but it'll have a few more of the cast members in it.
I hope so. I hope we at least finally...
Because this one doesn't even say Star Wars on it.
Yeah.
I mean, the little flyer does, but the actual poster itself doesn't.
It says Star Wars The Force Awakens, but...
No, I mean the bottom one.
The bottom one.
Are you looking at the article?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so if you go to the bottom one...
Okay, hold on.
There's
There's the article I'm looking at has two pictures. There's a close up of it, and then there's like an overall, like a bigger picture of it.
I don't have 113.
You don't have the one that says official Drew Stanzen page?
Mine is Breaking the Force Awakens poster by Drew Stanzen revealed, yeah, updated.
Okay, and then it has a small zoomed-in picture.
Right.
The next picture is like it looks like a folded copy.
Right, right.
And then the one below that, after it says update the official Star Wars Twitter account confirmed.
Yeah, I see that.
You see that picture after that?
No, I don't see a picture there, but I see a link. Let me click
there.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, click on that. That's a...
That just takes me to that Twitter account.
All right, well, here, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
But anyway, it doesn't even have... It's almost like it's part of another... poster, like a...
Like another...
Like a series of posters.
That they're working on? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Understood. Huh.
But that one's coming through to you right now.
Okay. Be on the lookout for it.
But while we're waiting on that, if you want to talk about the new system?
Yes, yes. And our final piece of Star Wars news on our Star Wars Breaking News special, Battlefront PlayStation has a bundle pack that they are releasing for Battlefront, and it is a PlayStation 4. You get a PlayStation 4 with, it appears to be a Darth Vader on the side of it. And then not only do you get this exclusive bundle pack, you get this Darth Vader PlayStation 4, but you also get the game that goes with it. And they're actually having a giveaway. And all you have to do is if you go to our Facebook page, which by the way is facebook.com/4, then Midwest Guys. On there you can find this article, and they give you instructions, which I think maybe for a few more hours you might be able to get out there on Twitter. You put this particular thing on Twitter, you're entered in to win this exclusive bundle pack with this exclusive special edition PlayStation 4. Incredibly badass. Brian, what did you think?
I like this one. I was mentioning it to you earlier, and if you noticed, the remote, the controller, is black and gray. It looks like a little like red on there's like 37 buttons on it, but the one on the left there has red, like a lightsaber red.
Right, up, down, left, right,
I like that. I like, there was one that was, I posted it earlier. I don't know if I posted it to our page or my personal page, but it had shown, one that looked like R2-D2.
Yeah, that I remember that article.
And I like that one as well.
That one was really cool looking too, but obviously I'm a Vader fan, which might explain why Gabby's
fan.
But this one just is completely badass. The only critique I'm going to give it, the geeker critique, is the blue line on it, because it's Darth Vader. It should be red.
Yep, I was going to say the same thing.
But other than that, I'm sold.
Heck yeah.
And even if I don't win this contest and this PlayStation 4, I've said it before, I'm going to go buy a PlayStation 4 just for this game.
Well,
that says volumes about me personally, because I am not a gamer whatsoever anymore.
I think both of them are actually going to be true coming out, because the way this reads is it says Darth Vader inspired PS4 system revealed, and then it says two Star Wars bundles out this November.
Ah, okay. So you can either get maybe Vader or R2-D2. Hopefully you'll be able to buy it. I'm hoping.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you will. It looks like it'll be ready in November, just in time for Black Friday, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, if they start pre-ordering, I may put my order in right now. So if you're listening out there, PlayStation 4.
or anyone online who happens to see that it has become available to pre-order, please let us know.
No, please, at 4 Midwest Guys. At 4 Midwest Guys, the number 4 Midwest Guys on Twitter, or facebook.com/4 Midwest Guys. It's just one more thing. You talk about just a fantastic time to be a Star Wars fan. It is. It's like Christmas Eve, and we can see our packages, but we can't open them yet. That's kind of how it feels to me. But, you know, here soon there's going to be even more news breaking. We're going to have what they call the build-up to Episode 7 going forward, which is a lot of books, magazines, you name it, novelizations, all leading up to Episode 7. Comic books are out there already. Those have already started. There's the Star Wars. There's a Darth Vader one. There's even a Lando one, which is actually getting pretty good reviews from what I've heard out there. So if you have picked up comics, probably like me, since you were 7 or 8, they're out there, and apparently they're pretty good stories. There's one even in the Star Wars comic book line I've heard about an Obi-Wan that is really getting some really good reviews. So if you're looking for a good Obi-Wan story out there, might want to pick that one up. So I'm kind of tempted to make my way down to the comic book store and geek out and maybe buy a few comic books. So, I've already pre-ordered my audiobook for Star Wars Aftermath, which is the first book that tells what happens after Jedi. So,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
how many books are going to be between the movie and that? Just one?
They're saying Aftermath is going to be a trilogy of books, but I do not see, unless they're already done and written, them having the time to get them all three out before
December.
Yeah, because
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, they're releasing Aftermath, I think, in September. So,
that's not time at all.
Yeah, even with audiobooks, I wouldn't have time, you know, to listen to it all or even read it all, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, but there's also, speaking of games, there's going to be a mobile game out there. Cannot remember the name of it offhand, but it is also about the events that happened right after Jedi, like, you know, supposedly it's all about how the, you know, people are starting to revolt. It's like the Empire is trying to downplay that the Death Star was destroyed, and the rumors are starting to fly, and, you know, so you can fight against the new Empire, what's left of the Empire. And
is that out now or coming out?
That'll be coming out, I believe, in September as well. I cannot remember the title for the life of me, but it's out. It'll be a mobile platform game, so that'll be like for your phone, your smartphone, or for your iPad, Android, tablet.
Right, because I know they have the Lego ones are out net now.
Are they out now? Are they finally
like
the Star Wars Episode 7 or no?
I think it's for the original 6.
Okay.
It's Lego Star Wars. It says the complete saga.
Okay, gotcha.
But I can get it on iTunes for free, so.
Oh wow!
If you're looking for something, you can get that.
Get that right now.
Yeah. Or they have, if you want to buy a game, they have that Knights of the Old Republic.
Mm. Speaking of that, they're talking about re-releasing that, maybe with some updated content. Even.
Hmm.
Disney's thinking about it. So I hear through the grapevine on that one. So possibly more to go there with that. So.
One last app that or maybe two ones. You got the Angry Birds Star Wars.
Right.
That was an okay one. But one that I started, two of them that I actually started. One was called Star Wars Force Collection.
That's the trading card game, yeah.
Yeah, that's a like a serious trading card game.
Mm-hmm.
Like you actually have battles and stuff.
Right.
And then they have a new one out that's called Star Wars Card Trader.
Card trader.
Yep, and that's basically just like collecting baseball cards, and you're just collecting, you know, rare cards. There's no game with it or anything.
Oh, okay, so it's just like an online collection kind of thing.
Yep, just an online collection. Some of the stuff is kind of cool. Right now they have they're doing a play on like how many stormtroopers there are.
Mm.
And they started with TK1. and every so many days they're putting out a new TK with a different like fan art type thing.
Let me guess, like the hardest one to find is TK421.
We haven't got that far. We've only gotten to 41.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say cause that was the one at the standing guard. Yeah.
Right. Right. And you can never find him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But they have tie dye ones and everything else. So. It's not bad, and you can log in every day and get free coins, so you don't really have to buy it. You can,
yeah.
But you get free coins every day, and you get to open packs. Cool. It's kind of interesting. They came out originally when the game first came out. They came out with 8 Star Wars Episode 7 cards.
Oh, really? Wow. So yeah, that would have been the big. Okay, that's the draw. Gotcha.
Right. So they yeah. had those right when they first came out, and that was when we really had only seen the teaser trailer.
Hmm.
So it had screenshots from the teaser trailer as cards. And they look like 1970s cars. It's a pretty interesting thing. I'll have to show it to you next time I see you.
Yeah, you definitely have to show that to me. There's another one out there that I played and I've kind of had to back away from because it's addictive. It's called Star Wars Commander, and it's a strategy game. Basically, you're either the Empire or you're the Rebels. You build up your base, and you can attack other people, and then people attack you. So
is that the Worlds in Conflict one?
Yeah, they just released the version 2, and now, before it was all on Tatooine, now you can move to Hoth or some other planet.
Yavin 4 and stuff,
yeah. It's a very addictive game. I actually had to stop playing it for a while because, yeah, I wasn't getting anything done.
That's funny.
And they've got it set up where, you know, well, if you only buy this expansion or this pack of crystals, you can do this, and this. And I'm like, yeah. It I've already spent like $100 on this.
Oh,
this
wow.
Game. Yeah, yeah. It's easy to do. It's very, yeah. I got sucker written all over my forehead, but nevertheless, it's very addictive. Very fun game to play, though. Just know that they're out there. You can play it for free. It just takes forever to build it up. So that way. So. Anyway, so there's a little Star Wars gaming, segment that unexpected, but there you go.
Yeah.
Bonus. I did finally, Brian, get the picture you sent me here.
Yeah.
On my phone. And I see what you're saying. Yeah. There's no, it's like, I don't know if that's just a close up or if that's just something different where you don't have the Star Wars logo on there. Maybe
and
it's
you
just,
can, yeah. And you look across the bottom of it and it has, it looks like some kind of connector to a different poster.
You know what that is at the bottom, those red lights? That is, that's the same stuff we see, we saw it in Empire Strikes Back on the Carbon Freeze set.
Yep.
That's from that, and then there's also, it also shows up on the, in Return of the Jedi in the Emperor's Throne Room. Okay. Cool. Very cool, though. Cool stuff. All right, well, this is that's pretty much all the Star Wars news, but as you can see, there was a lot of it that broke over the weekend, and Brian and I just thought that we had to get our own podcast out here for this one, because it was just, there was just too much to tell, and there's no way we would have been able to get it in and all in on the flagship show. So, Brian, what are your, first of all, we'll do what we always do, time for final thoughts. Okay, Brian, what do you think? What's your final thoughts, sir?
My final thoughts is it's really an exciting time, and I'm really excited for the younger generation. Not only for us, but you know the directors and stuff they have coming online for these movies are talking about making it for the kids. The next generation needs a saga for them to call their own. You know, Disney. Although, you know, Brian B. talks about the Disneyfication of Star Wars, they know how to market, and I'm sure it'll appeal to the masses. You'll have your select few who don't like it, but I'm not usually one of those that don't like it. So I'm really looking forward to that, and really looking forward to, you know, maybe sometime heading to Disney in the not-so-distant future. Not
right. Yeah. When is the completion date again?
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm asking off 3 years in advance.
There you go. My final thought, I agree with Ryan. I agree with you 100% on, you know, the future generation. What a great time to be a Star Wars fan. It's an amazing time to be a Star Wars fan, whether even if you're like us that grew up with it. It was part of your childhood. So not only do we have the history to teach the younger generation and show the vast richness of it, but we also, now they're going to get all this new Star Wars, just amazing new Star Wars content. It's just a great time to be a Star Wars fan, and I couldn't be more excited. I said it, I keep saying it, and it's like Christmas Eve. We can see the packages, but we can't open them yet. So it's like, you know, or we snuck down, you know, and Santa was delivering them. If we still have any. That's for the kids out there. So, yeah, what a great time to be a Star Wars fan. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to reach out to us again, we are on Facebook. You can catch all these articles we talked about on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. We're also on Twitter @4MidwestGuys. We even have an email address. It's 4MidwestGuys@gmail.com. Drop us a line. We'd love to hear back from you. We're looking for some feedback. We're a brand new show out there. There's things you like, things you don't like, things you want to hear us talk about even. I would love to hear from you. I know Brian would, well, Brian B and John Z would as well. So come out there, check us out, like our Facebook page, and get in contact with us. So, but for now, may the Force be with you, and we'll talk to you next time.